This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address or website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way. The website has the program on it, a weekly meditation on it. You can also write to me if you'd like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish my meditations in from time to time. So if you want to contact me, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write the addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading from verse 38, but we're going to back up and remind ourselves that we've been looking at the Good Samaritan. Now this whole chapter deals with the Lord sending out servants into the harvest field. He had sent out 70 to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And it seems to me that as he's going down to Luke chapter 10, he's sort of explaining to his disciples what they're going to run up against and what they should be like as they use the gifts the Lord has given them for the advancement of the kingdom. And one of the things that we see is that a lawyer comes and asks the Lord what he must do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord says, how do you read the scriptures? And he basically says that if he treats people right, he's going to be all right. And the Lord says, that's true. But now the question is, what people do you have to treat right? Because the real key was that he was supposed to love his neighbor. And so he had asked the question, a typically lawyerly question, who is my neighbor? And the Lord gives us this illustration of who our neighbor is by telling us the story of a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And the man, of course, would have been a Jewish man. As he fell among thieves, there was a priest that came by and did not help. There was a Levite that came by and did not help. But there was a Samaritan who came by and who saw his plight, and he took him. And he poured in oil and wine, put him on his own beast, took him to an inn, and left him at the inn and told the innkeeper that if he needed any more to take care of this person who had fallen among thieves, he said, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, there's many lessons in this for us to learn, but the basic lesson that we're supposed to learn from this is that we often try to avoid helping people that we don't like. And sometimes we don't even want to accept help from people we don't like. And of course, in the story, the person who fell among thieves represents sinners who have been robbed by sin, by Satan, and have been deceived by him. And when Satan is done with a person like that, then they are basically cast off and there's no one to help. The Good Samaritan is the Lord Jesus himself. And the Good Samaritan is called a Samaritan because the Jews really had no dealings with the Samaritans. We see that in John's Gospel. We can see that the Samaritans were considered a despised people. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. And this was sort of a national hatred. It was an ethnic hatred. It was prejudice because of where a person was born and who his parents were. And the Jews saw themselves as the recipients of God's blessing. They thought they were, and rightly so, they were God's chosen people. And, of course, the Samaritans were not. And the Samaritans were born wrong, and they had the wrong parents, and they lived in the wrong place, and they worshipped wrong as far as the Jews were concerned. And yet it's a Samaritan, one that a Jew would have despised, that comes along and helps this man who fell among thieves. Now, the Samaritan quite clearly is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And so as we look at this story, we have that question asked, who is my neighbor? And without really reading the story, it's quite clear that the Samaritan is the neighbor of the man who fell among thieves. And it's also quite clear that the Samaritan considered the man who fell among thieves to be his neighbor. And so when we are doing the Lord's work, we have to put ethnic pride aside, we have to put prejudice aside, and we have to meet needs as we see them. And we have to recognize that all those people that come into this world are the product of God's creation, and he loves them all. I'm not going to say they're all God's children, because technically we're not God's children until we've been born again. We are, by nature, children of disobedience and children of wrath, according to Ephesians 2. But according to John chapter 1, upon believing, we become the children of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So in a strict sense, we're not children of God, but everybody that comes into this world is the creation of God, and God loved the world. And those of us who preach the gospel need to love the world too. And we simply need to make sure that we do not let ethnic pride get in the way of our service for him. Now, at the end of this story, the Lord asked this lawyer, he said, now, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Who was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Well, the lawyer rightly says, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now, you could read that the way you get into heaven is being like the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a sense in which that's true, but you can't be like the Lord Jesus Christ unless you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, unless you've had a time when you've repented of your sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus. At that time, Ephesians 1 says, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And from that time on, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our bodies and in our lives and changes us. And so the Good Samaritan was to be loved. But the only way we can truly love the Good Samaritan, that is, the only way we can truly love the Lord, is if we see that the Lord first loved us. And John, in his epistle, tells us that we love him because he first loved us. And so, as we look at this story, we can see that the Lord is not the one most people would pick to save them. The Lord does not come from the background that most people consider proper. He didn't present himself in the way that they thought he ought to present himself. He didn't present himself on a royal horse coming to reign as a king, even though he did make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But the Lord is a despised and rejected one in this life, like a Samaritan. And we who have fallen among thieves should have a love for him. But we will only have that divine love if we have fully understood our own sin and how far the Lord came in order to pick us up, put us up, and fix us up. And the Lord did that by dying for us at the cross of Calvary. So we go from this story recognizing that as those who have fallen among thieves, we should love the Lord, who, from a natural standpoint, is a despised and rejected one. And we also need to understand from this story that the Lord, as a Samaritan, was willing to come to a people who did not love him and show love to them. And he did that to those of us who are Gentiles. He did that to Jews who are away from him. He did that really for the whole world. Now the question is, what is our response to what the Lord has done? Do we just see him as someone who brings shame and problems into our life? Or do we see him as someone who loved us with an everlasting love, who has brought us, as the Song of Solomon says poetically, into his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love? And those of us who are saved do love the Lord Jesus. Now, in the latter part of this passage, then, as we go on, we read from verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, saying, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. Now, this apparently was the Mary and Martha of a later story having to do with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and they were apparently all brothers and sisters. It's clear in my mind that both Mary and Martha loved the Lord, but they showed it differently. Mary was one who showed it by her service, and I'm sorry, Martha was the one who showed it by her service, and Mary was the one who showed it by her devotion. Now, somebody who is interested in showing their love by service will look at somebody like Mary and say she's just lazy. She doesn't want to do anything. All she does is read the Bible, read books, and pray. And somebody who is like Mary will look at Martha and say, when does she take time to get to know the Lord? She's spending all of her time trying to serve, but when does she really get alone with the Lord and have a chance to know him and to love him? And there's really both sides to the story, isn't there? But the Lord makes it clear that devotional love comes before service to the Lord. He would rather have a simple meal and have us listen to him and enjoy his presence than to have a grand feast and have the people that are involved be so involved with their service that they can't take time to enjoy his company. Mary, in a personal way, seemed to enjoy the company of the Lord. And I sometimes wonder how much of that we miss out on in our day when we are so busy. And it seems like if you're like me, you are worried and troubled about many things. But it doesn't seem as though that was the thing that characterized Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. Mary wasn't getting things done. She wasn't controlling things. She wasn't making sure everything was spotless in the house and that all the china was on the table. She wasn't concerned and troubled about those things, but Martha was. And I have to admit, in many ways, I'm kind of like a Martha. When things aren't being done in the way that I would like to see them done, I get concerned and I get troubled and I get anxious, and I know that that's a sin when we should be depending on the Lord, but that's the way it is. And I'm just so thankful for a woman like Martha who makes me realize that the Lord can love us even with our defects. But the point is, if we're worried and troubled about many things today, maybe we just need to get alone for a little while and sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to him as he speaks to us. And we'll hear him speak to us through his word as we read about the things that he did in the Gospels, when we read about the things that he wants in the epistles. As we are devoted to him, it takes the care away when we begin to realize that the Lord wants us to listen to him, and he listens to us, and we do really enjoy a personal relationship with him. If we have come to an understanding that we fell among thieves, and he came along, and by dying for us at the cross of Calvary, he met our need, and the one that was despised is now the one that we love. At least I hope that's true of us today. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program. Pray for thy blessing on all who have listened. We ask for thy mercies as we give thanks for the Lord and our Savior's worthy and precious name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.